Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
What is hip? Ryan Garcia's hip, folks. Got off the deck last night in the second round. That's right. The prodigy, the next coming of Oscar De La Hoya, the next Canelo Alvarez, the Mexican-American sensation from Victorville, California. And what is Victorville, California famous for? They got a barbecue down there. Outside of that, it's Ryan Garcia and the barbecue. The rest of the Victorville's just like Victorville. Bottom line is, Ryan Garcia got off the deck in round number two, of course. Hard left hand. It came over the top. It was a bit of a looping left hand. And when it's a looping left hand like that, you can sort of see it coming. Unlike Pernell Whitaker, who would be a sharpshooter and would be shooting that punch straight and from his shoulder, this one was looped. So you got to see it. It had been directly. Ryan Garcia might not have got up straight up. He saw the punch coming. He got up in the second round, composed himself well, and went on to win a seventh round stoppage, of course, with a body shot. Campbell now 20-4, 16 KOs. He was devastated afterwards. But the bottom line is, they stopped it at 150 at round number seven because of a body shot. Mr. UK, well, the puncher, the 2008 Olympic gold medalist, he just couldn't get up. Bottom line is, this is Ryan post-fight.
Well, Ryan, congratulations. When you ride to the ring on a throne, you better perform like a king, and you did that in this fight tonight. What did you think of your performance?
Man, it definitely showed. So I think I showed a lot of people who I really am. You know, going to this fight, I wanted to show people that, you know, whatever they call you, you know, they wanted to call me a social media fighter. They wanted to call me a lot of names. Your teachers may call you things. Your parents even. Anybody who tries to put you down and tell you you can't become something. Remember, you're not who people tell you are. You're who you choose to be. You and I chose to be a champion tonight. I wasn't going to let nothing stop me, even when he dropped me. I got up. It was a good shot. I was cold. And he caught me, man. I was like, yo, I got dropped. This is crazy.
Walk me through that second round. You won the first round. You seemed like you were in control. And then you get hit with that one big punch. And as you told Luke after the fight, first time you've ever been dropped.
I've never been dropped in my life. I think I got a little too excited over the moment. I knew I was in control, but I wanted just to dog him. Like, I just felt like I could crack him, but he cracked me. So, yeah, there was that. So I had to adjust and say, all right, I'm going to calm down, because I knew I could beat him. I just had to get right back up and show everybody what a warrior really is like. That's why I got it on my shoulder, warrior, baby. My first tattoo.
What are you feeling there, lying on the deck for the first time with a minute or so to go in that round? What is going through your mind?
I was a little dizzy, I ain't gonna lie, but I was like, you know what, it's not that bad. I mean, what's the worst this guy's gonna do? Try to come at me, I'll just block. You know what I mean? I wasn't really too worried.
You were really excited about this fight, about getting in the ring and proving yourself on this level. You came out there, you were the aggressor in this fight. Was that part of the strategy?
Of course. I mean, Luke Campbell has never fought in his life coming forward, so I kind of knew like he was going to back up, and naturally I'm a counterpuncher, but I showed that I could take it to somebody and knock him out, so I'm very happy with my performance. One thing, I'm a man of my word. Let's go, Tank! Let's go! Let's go! I'm ready! Let's go!
Now, Ryan, you have a piece of gold around your waist, but with or without it, you have become a shot caller in this division. You've got the popularity, these fans here tonight, everyone that follows you on social media.
Hey, don't forget, I see you, Devin. Yeah, shout out Devin Haney. I like him. We got a rivalry, but I want to fight him too.
Well, that's
to fight everybody. Let's go.
That's the question. You fought one time in 2020, first fight in 2021. What do you want to do next?
Man, I really want to be a man of my word. I want to fight Tank. I know people are, you know, worried about that one, but I'm ready for it. You know, this fight, I fought an Olympic gold medalist, you know, pound for pound. At the time, Lomachenko couldn't stop him. The Nares couldn't hurt. I mean, he dropped him, but couldn't finish him. I showed today that I'm special. And I want to thank God. I almost forgot. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, God. Man, I told everybody it was going to be a body shot. Look at everything. I knew it was going to be a body shot long ago because God told me so. Love you, God. Let's go, Texas. Stand up, Texas. Let's go.
Before I let you go, Ryan, walk me through that knockout punch. Were you looking for the body shot in that last round?
Oh, yeah. He was very worried about that hook coming. I've had that hook since I was born. So he thought I was going up top, and I just changed direction on him real quick.
So where does Devin Haney rank on your hit list of potential opponents?
Man, Devin Haney, he's going to be that opponent. Of course, I want to fight him. I want to fight Tank first, of course. But, you know, it is what it is. If we can make Devin, let's make Devin. Why not? Let's go. Let's go. Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
What did you say to Canelo after that win?
I just wanted to thank him, man, because without, you know, the Reynosos and Canelo being by my side all the time, I don't know if I would have learned all the things I learned, and I'm always grateful for having a good team around me, and you know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have such a great team in Eddie and Canelo. They're amazing guys. They take me under my wing, and they show me the ropes, and I thank you guys with all my heart. Thank you.
Congratulations, Ryan. Star-making performance against Luke Campbell.
No doubt about that. Still undefeated now, 21 and zip, 17 KOs. Bottom line is, a kid showed up. He got dropped. He got off the deck. He showed who he was made of. Of course, getting off the deck is tough. I remember getting knocked down and like not knowing what was going on around you. It's like, wow, you have no idea what's really going on around you until you collect your thoughts, and it takes a couple of seconds. And by the time you realize, hey, I got to get up, this guy's on you and throwing punches again. So Ryan Garcia handled himself well last night. Luke Campbell, heartbroken after the fight. Can't blame him. He had his moment there. But when you're the opponent in the fight and you get that moment, you must seize that moment. In other words, you've got to take it. In other words, you don't get too many chances. You're not the guy that's supposed to win. But you get a chance to win, you're supposed to jump on it. And Mr. Campbell didn't jump on it afterwards. He didn't throw too many punches after the knockdown. So shame on him. He gave away his one good chance, I thought, for winning. A couple other fights on the card we'll get to after I bring in, it's time to bring in the Godfather. The retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Larry, very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, and Pedro, I'm now watching the fight on DAZN. I hadn't seen it last night, and I've read a lot about it and heard a lot about it, but this is one of the trials that a young phenom like Garcia has to go through, and we found out something about him. I'll tell you a story, Pedro. Many, many years ago, there was a fighter out of Philadelphia who was tough and strong and fought in the style of Marciano and Dempsey. And when you fight in those styles, sooner or later you're going to get nailed or somebody's going to outbox you. Well, in this occasion, a real test for this fighter came up. And he was knocked down twice, and he got up and won the fight. And then we all knew that we had something special in the kind of fighter who's always facing danger. That fighter was Joe Frazier. He fought Oscar Bonavena, who was a tough, strong fighter from Argentina, I believe. And then everybody knew, okay, Joe Frazier is the kind of fighter who will get up and get after you. And there's no more treasured faculty in a fighter. And the kid showed something last night, and it's something we wanted to see, even if we weren't thinking that we would see it right now.
I know, and I feel so excited. I'm looking at this foursome. Of course, the champion from Honduras originally, but out of Brooklyn, Teofimo Lopez. Of course, Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis, a WBA 130-pound champion. I think he holds the title at 135 as well. Devin Haney supposedly got a belt at 135. And now Ryan Garcia. There's a lot of belts at 135. And I mean, too many belts, Godfather. So we're running through this little tournament here, these four guys, they could electrify the boxing world. All four of them, well, maybe not Haney, but the other three guys have enough to electrify the boxing world. Are the lightweights going to take over like the welterweights took over at one point in time in the 80s, do you think?
They might. They also might grow up to be junior welterweights and welterweights. We've seen that happen too. During the welterweight era.
Okay.
But yes, we want to see these fights. I don't know if after the fight last night that Garcia's management wants to rush into anything, but it would be something to see. And I think Garcia has the kind of following that would put him in the middle of it, in the sense that, he can call the terms of the fight.
Don't you think we need to accelerate boxing, though, because of COVID? In other words, what I mean accelerate, although we'll get to a second to a story out of the UK. They banned all boxing now because of COVID. All boxing in the UK is off, period. It includes an ESPN card next week. But I don't Ryan Garcia is a special individual. Haney, I'm not so convinced on. Tank Davis brings it. Of course, Teofimo Lopez has got the crown right now. Vasyl Lomachenko is in the background, so the lightweights look good. I saw a thing this week where Sean Porter said that $1 million wasn't enough to fight Terrence Crawford. Is $1 million what it used to be?
Well, it isn't in real estate. It isn't in a lot of ways because money changes. The $200 a week I was making when I was in my 20s at the Philadelphia Daily News would turn out today to be close to $2,000 a week. So, but look, there's a lot of money to be made out there, and it does change things because everybody is guiding their careers to try to get the big fight or to challenge the money man like Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
But only a few special ones make it.
You know, I want before we go to the break, I do want to mention that Canelo Alvarez, who was a fortnight ago coming off that win over kid from the UK, Mr. Smith, I will say he looked real trim last night. Unlike a lot of guys between fights, Canelo seems to be holding it together. More power to him. He's dedicated to his craft, Godfather. A lot of Mexican fighters, a lot of Latino fighters, I can speak for myself, we aren't always the most disciplined guys in the world, but this guy's...
Well, some of it has to do with culture and the kind of food you eat and coming from poverty and certainly suddenly being thrust into a lot of big dinner plates, put it that way. But be that as it may, I think it's true, and I think it was true 10 years ago when Alvarez was fighting fights that his management didn't want him to fight, that it's great to want to be great. And some of these kids just want to be great. They don't want to just wait for the big event and hope it happens. And maybe it does and maybe it doesn't.
You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That is the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Larry Merchant. We talk about Oscar Bonafena. Before we go to the break, he died at the Mustang Ranch. I think Joe Conforti shot him. He owned the Mustang Ranch and the guy shot him. He was dating his wife or something like that. Bottom line is, not a good ending for Mr. Bonavena. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Woo! It's going to be good.
Somebody shot me a text. What's it like to be buzzed? I fought Ernie Chavez in the National Golden Gloves. At a weight that I shouldn't have, a welterweight. Anyway, bottom line is, he hit me so hard when I got up the second time and I looked across the ring, there were seven of them standing there. Seven Ernie Chavez's. That's how hard I got hit. So getting buzz and getting up is a little bit weird, no doubt. Godfather, you got buzz playing football. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I once played a high school football game at Ebbets Field and I made a head first tackle on a punt, and I felt it running down my neck into my spine. But when I got off the turf, I saw the guy I had tackled stumbling off the field, and I immediately felt better.
the psychological end of it. Hey, here's a good one. Had Meldrick Taylor won that fight with Chavez, would he have been as damaged as he was, or was the psychological damage so much that he couldn't come back?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I said, if Meldrick Taylor, had he beat Chavez the first time and not lost so controversially in the 12th round, would he have been able, it took a bad physical beating, but I thought the psychological beating, he was never able to come back from that psychologically. Do you think if he'd have won that fight, he'd been able to come back physically? Because he never did.
I don't know. He was damaged in that fight.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen fighters win great fights, including Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier, in my opinion, was never the same fighter after he beat Ali.
No doubt about that.
He took so much punishment. He made such a heroic effort. He was in a hospital for more than a week recovering after that fight. And he gave so much of himself, there was just not enough left.
You know, of all the instances in boxing, I think that he was the absolute most possessed I'd ever seen. People talk about Roberto Duran being possessed for the first or Sugar Ray Leonard fight. Nah, nothing compared to Joe for that first fight. Even though I thought Ali won more rounds than Joe did in that first fight, but straight up, Joe Frazier, of course, had him in all kinds of trouble. And I think the 11th or the 12th round, Ali told me he'd never been hit that hard in his life. And then, of course, in the 15th round, he got decked. So got up from that. Switching the subject to White Hopes, Jerry Cooney. Had Jerry Cooney not been protected, and had he, he fought Ken Norton, and Ken Norton was 38 years old. That was sort of like his claim to fame. But had he been able to, and then he came out here to California, he fought a stiff. I watched him in the gym. They wouldn't put anybody in the gym with him that could really fight when it comes to sparring and things like that. He was just so protected. Had he not been protected, I thought he could have been a better fighter. What's your take on that?
My take is I don't know.
Okay.
I always assume that the guys who are outside the ring, the trainers and the managers and so forth, know more about their fighter than I do. And how they match him tells what they think about the fighter. For example, Wilder, 10 years a pro before he took a really hard fight. Right?
Yeah.
Because he started late and so on.
He fought a lot of stiffs.
He was a big puncher and a crowd-pleasing kind of fighter, and he had a following from out in Long Island, so he made some money. And then he lost to Larry Holmes, who was an elite heavyweight champion. No disgrace in that at all.
True.
And so it went.
In a statement by the British Board of Boxing Control as of 10 or 12 hours ago, following the increase of COVID-19 cases in the UK and the effects of such increases has on the NHS and the work of the Board of Medical Officers, have been decided that no tournaments, no boxing will take place under the British Board of Boxing Control during the month of January 2021. They're going to come back in February and try to figure things out. That cancels an ESPN card there January 22nd. Some people tell me we're overreacting. I don't think you can take enough precautions here. Am I just being paranoid?
You know, it's like a fighter who has to protect himself. He may have a lot of guns and ammunition, but if he doesn't protect himself, he's not going to last long in this game. And I think the British Board, with the spread of COVID in Great Britain, is I assume doing the right thing. I mean, they're there to protect the sport, and sometimes you have to protect the sport just like you have to protect fighters. And if they deem that it's time to put the gloves aside for a while, then I respect that.
Okay. Looking back a fortnight ago, of course, the best pound for pound fighter in the world, Canelo Alvarez, in action. I mentioned him earlier being in shape. And he he brought it. I mean, I went by when you watch it the first time, I said, you know, and then I watched it the second time. Maybe I was a little biased the first time, but he really brought it. He won all but a couple of rounds if he didn't win them all. What can you say about him we talked about it earlier, and I tried to push you on this one, but what makes him different from the rest of these guys? Lewis.
I think he wants to be great. As the younger brother of four or five brothers who fought, I think he was groomed in every way to be as good as he can be. And he had a spark inside of him that was willing to fight anyone before his management wanted him to fight them. And I think he just wants to be great. A lot of guys, you say, well, they want to be great, and it's great to want to be great. But he shows it, and who would have imagined when we saw him 10 years ago that he, when he was welterweight or junior middleweight, that he was going to get to this position.
That he would be the king of all boxing. Godfather, I want to wish you the best. Say hello to the godmama for me. Plant a big fat one on her cheek if you can. I wish you well. Have a good week. Stay safe, Godfather, and I hope to talk to you next week, sir.
Happy New Year, Pedro.
That's right. Happy New Year, 2021. You couldn't get no worse in 2020 in the minds of a lot of people, not just me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.